out to Larry Keith again in dealing with what we did before and bringing additional federal assets into here. You know, to me, we're not, I mean, you hate to see gun violence at any time. We you know, had a more significant rash of this back in summer of 2019. We asked for the assistance. We were able to bring it down, and if that's what we need to do, we'll keep working to bring whatever assets we need to bear to help do that.
So Mayor Robinson tells me yesterday that he's already spoken with U.S. Attorney Larry Keefe about the possibility of bringing federal resources to bear here locally to help on the current gun violence problem, like was done last year in that whole rash of shootings that took place, if you remember. Joining us now, as he does every single week, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So let's start there. Are the feds coming to help? Is there help needed? Maybe where are we at? I mean, it's been a lot.
Well, I'm sure if they're asked to come to Pensacola to assist us again like they have in the past, then that's going to happen. We're certainly not an organization that's going to turn down numbers to help us with gun violence. So if the mayor or the chief of police or both have asked for that assistance, I'm sure that's going to happen.
So is that the perception within the department that, you know, I know nobody likes to ever admit they need help, okay, or ask for it. But as you said, why on earth would you turn down additional resources? Is it something that seems to be where you really need more manpower to really get this under control?
Well, again, we're never going to turn down numbers, but I also have to add that Pensacola police officers have already made arrests in these cases and related to these cases. There was one yesterday, so they're working all around the clock. Several officers are. We'll take that back. All the officers are working on this gun problem. So again, we're not going to turn down more numbers if we're able to get those. It's not an insult at all to us. It's help, and it's help that we can always use.
You and I have talked many times about, and along with talking with the sheriff, I mean, you know, the sheriff-elect, but that a lot of times what happens is there's an incident over here, and then there's a retaliation over there, and then there's another follow-up or retaliation over there. Is that what we're seeing here, is just this chain sequence of connected events, or are they not all connected to each other?
I can't say specifically for these cases. I mean, these shootings are happening both in and out of the county. That's something I don't need to get into at this point, but I can tell you historically that is true. One will breed another one, if not two more. So unfortunately, the way it ends is either the person ends up in jail or a funeral home. We certainly don't want to see either one of those. We would like them to stop, but that's not the real world sometimes. So like I said, so far some arrests have been made, and unfortunately there have been some deaths involved.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, this week the Citizens Police Advisory Committee met, and of course they were largely inspired to form and then to deal with what they perceive as issues related to the Tamar Crawford shooting, and you and I have talked about that many times. But I feel like there's two different worlds that we're living in, because I talk to you guys in law enforcement all the time, and I understand your perspective, and then I listen to the way the Citizens Police Advisory Committee talks about use of force issues, and, you know, Kevin Christman, the deputy chief, to his credit, was there in the meeting, but some of these ideas like, you know, you're going to have to give a verbal warning to somebody when they're waving a gun around before you shoot them, it seems like, I don't know that you can solve these problems at the point of police behavior when the behavior, underlying behavior itself, is so problematic. Am I missing something here?
No, not at all. If you look at the amount of arrests that we make on a daily basis, on a weekly, on a monthly basis, where there is no violence between police and the suspect, that tells you all you need to know. When there is violence, there's only one reason for it, and that's that the suspect began to be violent, began to resist arrest. And until people decide not to resist arrest, I don't see this problem getting solved anytime soon. That's just, and it's not with the Pensacola Police Department. It's law enforcement worldwide. We are bound. We have to make these arrests. That's what our job is. And as long as people offer resistance, then we have to fight back. I mean, we have to effect that arrest as safely as possible.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the recommendations are things I know that you guys already do. And if there is a use of force, and Crispin was very clear about this, if there is a use of force, there's a whole new chain of events that happens in terms of reporting and oversight and investigation, right?
Yes, every one of those are looked into. A use of force form is filled out. It goes up the chain of command. That way there's not one supervisor looking at it. They may be biased. It goes through several supervisors. All of them have to agree that the force was justified. And if it wasn't, then the investigation goes further.
And, you know, I particularly like the thing he said about the police force is constantly evolving. You've been on the force for, you know, a year or two, okay? You, you know, you've got some experience, which is good. You've seen the Pensacola Police Department adapt and evolve over the years, right?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 34 years in two different police departments, and I can tell you that police work, like the deputy chief said, changes on a yearly basis, sometimes monthly, and sometimes it changes based on a single incident. So we learn, we constantly learn, we constantly go to school, we constantly train, and that's never going to change, and that's a great thing. You know, we're hoping that someday something can come out to where you know, we can stop all these incidences somehow, you know, as far as violence goes. But right now we live in the real world and we have to do our jobs, and we're going to do it safely, as safe as we can. And a point that you brought up earlier about people wanting us to warn folks before we use force, we do that 99% of the time. You can hear officers yell, drop the gun, mm-hmm. or stop resisting. You can see that in body cam footage all the time. But there's sometimes when they immediately come under fire or something of that sort that they simply don't have time to do anything but respond.
And I know, look, you know, I've dealt with arguing my whole life and taught philosophy and done radio, and I understand that some people can be persuaded and some people cannot. And you have to identify the different category they're in. We were talking about this with Chip Simmons yesterday, and somebody texted me and said, well, he might have been waving a gun. This is the 9th Avenue and Langley shooting. You know, he might have been waving a gun, but was he aiming it at the cops? Because, you know, if he's not aiming it at the cops, they're not really in danger. I'm like, you can't argue with somebody where that's the point of view. And even Chip mentioned that. He's like, some people, there's nothing you can do to persuade them, right?
No, he's right about that. If they've got a gun in their hand and the police show up, common sense tells you to drop the gun. Without us even saying anything, when law enforcement shows up, drop the gun, drop the knife, drop the baseball bat, nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, it's very simple. Hey, you and I a lot of times like to talk about the myths of policing, especially how you're portrayed on TV and movies. Do you have one for me this week?
I do. Let's talk about Miranda. The Miranda warning, mm-hmm. and, you know, you see it on TV all the time that police have to, you know, they're reading people their rights, and that's true to a point, but a lot of officers you can talk to, in fact, most of them will say they've heard dozens of times that, hey, you didn't read me my rights, this and that, and we don't have to read you your Miranda rights unless we are about to question you about the crime. So if we arrest someone on a warrant arrest, a simple warrant arrest, or a DUI or something where there's no questions needed, they don't have to issue the Miranda warning.
Interesting. So it's not mandatory at the point of arrest. It's only mandatory if you're going to engage in questioning.
That's correct.
Fascinating. I love it. Another case where the TV doesn't tell me the truth about police work. Shocker. All right, Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I always appreciate having you on. Thanks so much for the time. I don't think you sleep any more than I sleep. Maybe you sleep less than I do. So I appreciate you always being available as well.
Hey, sometimes I think sleep is overrated. We appreciate you, Andrew.